שלום, אנחנו קוראים בכתבי רבש כרך א'.
Hello, we're reading in the writings of Rabash, first volume, page 147 in writings of Rabash, article, the main deficiency that we need to pray over, what is that? There's no English text for that one. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be aired live. Writings of Rabash, again, first volume, page 147 in Hebrew, article, the main deficiency we need to pray over, what is it?
יש הבחן גדול בין התפילה שמתפללים על גשמיות לתפילה שמתפללים
Beginning with ilazot in the middle of the article. Accordingly, there's a great difference between the prayer that we pray over corporeality and the prayer that we pray for spirituality. Because with spirituality, we first have to pray over the vessel, meaning the deficiency. Because the fulfillment is in abundance, and we only need the deficiency in order to discover it. That is, for one to feel sorrow and pain by not having this kli called desire, meaning that he'll yearn to bring contentment to his maker. It follows that he should not pray for fulfilling the desire, like in corporeality, where he has a desire and he's praying for the fulfillment of the deficiency, because he doesn't yet have any vessel of spirituality. Because of that, a person who is going to pray for spirituality must pray for the kli, that the Creator will give him the kli that he'll want to bestow upon the Creator. Later on, when he has a kli related to spirituality, then he can pray for the abundance that will enter the spiritual kli. It turns out that the true deficiency over which a person must pray for to the Creator must be for the kli. And that follows the rule that there is no light without a kli. And when one prays for a true deficiency over what he lacks, then comes the answer for the prayer, meaning that the Creator gives him a new kli. And this is as written, "And I removed the stony heart from your flesh, and I've given you a heart of flesh." And regarding this deficiency, I've heard from Baal HaSulam, who said, in the name of his Rav, the Admor from Putzov, about the verse, "And you shall command Aaron," Rashi interpreted, "There is no commandment except for hastening immediately and for the generations." And Rabbi Shimon said, specifically the text, the verse, "To hasten, to accelerate, should be in the place where there is a deficiency in the pocket." And he said about it that a pocket is a kli in which you insert money. And it is the way of the world that you are concerned with and you make an effort in order to get money. And he said a man has to mostly worry in a place where he has a deficiency in his pocket, which means a deficiency in the kli. This is, as we explained, in spirituality, one should not pray for the Creator to give him the abundance and the lights. Rather, first he has to be worried about having a kli, meaning a desire and yearning to bestow upon the Creator, since from the side of nature we only have a will to receive and not to bestow. Accordingly, when a person enters the holy work and wants to reach its wholeness, he must invest all of his forces in order to attain the desire that he will want to bring contentment to his Maker. And on that he must focus all of his prayers, that the Creator will help him and will give him that new kli, and to say before him, "Master of the world, as you have given me a kli from the beginning of my creation in this world, which is only to receive for my own benefit, I'm now asking for you to give me a new kli," meaning that I have the desire only to bestow contentment upon you. And we should not ask, how can you pray that he'll give him a kli, which is called the will to bestow, at the same time that we say that he does not lack that kli, because he doesn't feel that he's lacking it. Therefore, how can he ask for something for which one has no deficiency? And even though he sees that he does not have that kli, which is called the will to bestow, however, did not say that anything that a person lacks, doesn't have it, is called that he's missing it, as written about the upper Sefirot, because that Sefirot of the Bina, which is Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy, even though that according to the second restriction we learned that it came from the Rosh of Arihanpin, it is still considered as though it did not come out of there. Even though she has no Chochmah, it is not considered as a deficiency, that since she doesn't lack it. We see then, when is something considered as not a deficiency, even though one lacks it? Even more than that, you have to feel suffering by not having it. That is, even though one feels that he's lacking it, but he has no suffering from not having it, that is not yet considered a deficiency, a desire. If so, how can one pray over something that he does not miss? Because of that, a person must think about the purpose of creation, which, as we know, it is to benefit his creations. When a person begins to criticize this goodness which is among the created beings, meaning that they should be enjoying in the world all the goodness and the delight the Creator wants to give them, and he doesn't see it among the created beings. From that, he comes to the awareness that certainly there must be some reason which denies the created beings the goodness and the delight, that for that reason, the upper abundance cannot be revealed, and because of that, the purpose of creation cannot come to its complete fruition. When one looks upon himself, he sees that everything that he sees, that the created beings did not yet reach receiving the abundance, certainly the reason must be because they do not keep the Torah mitzvot as they should in order to keep the king's commandments. This is how our sages said that the Creator wanted to merit Israel or to cleanse Israel. Accordingly, he gave them plenty of Torah and mitzvot. It follows from here that by the Torah and mitzvot, they can merit the goodness and the delight. However, there is the question of why do they not keep the Torah and mitzvot as they should in order to serve the king? So he says that this is because we lack the feeling of the importance in the Torah and mitzvot. And also we lack the importance of the mitzvah that he has ordered us to keep his Torah and mitzvot. And then the person comes to a complete decision that only the Creator can correct that. Meaning that if he'll reveal to us a little bit of the light of the Torah and mitzvot, that we would feel the pleasure that there is in them, certainly each and every one will have the ability to serve the king with his entire being and soul as worthy of those who feel the greatest of the king. And because of that, what should we pray to the Creator for? That he'll give us a little bit of the upper abundance. Then everyone will engage in the Torah and mitzvot properly without any negligence. Indeed, we see what the Holy Ari says, that there the nukva was not as it should be. Therefore, the shattering took place. And the inner light interprets the words of the Ari, that since the upper abundance must come into a Kli that will receive the abundance in order to bestow, and as the light was greater than what the Kli was ready to receive, meaning that the Kli should receive the light precisely according to what it is able to aim in order to bestow. And for such a great light, he did not have the ability to aim or to intend in order to bestow. Therefore, the light had to enter the vessels whose desire is in order to receive. This is called a klipa, shell. It follows that the vessels were broken, which means that in this kelim, if the abundance were to enter, then the entire abundance will go to the external ones, meaning the klipot, the shells. And this is, as we say, that the kli was broken, that nothing is given into it, because it will all fall to the outside. Therefore, a person should not pray that he'll be given the abundance from above, because certainly all of it will go to the external ones. Rather, one should pray to the Creator to give him a kli, which is a desire and yearning to bestow upon the Creator. And when he'll have that kli, certainly the upper abundance will be revealed to the person, and he'll feel the goodness and the pleasure that was in the thought of creation to benefit his creations. Therefore, we should ask for the Creator for what a person truly lacks, And this is a vessel of bestowal, and one should not pray over any other thing.
There are a few problems here, questions on the path. The first one is that we don't have the deficiency for the purpose of creation. Our deficiency is opposite, totally opposite. I naturally think only about my inner state, only about my inner state. My inner state is, I'm lacking something. If I'm not lacking, I think about nothing. If I am lacking, I think of how to satisfying this lack, by what to receive this thing I'm lacking, how to satisfy someone else. The whole reality, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, and through them to achieve, to satisfy the Creator. He is lacking something. His deficiency, I do not feel. The deficiency of other people, I can feel in some way. But the deficiency of the Creator, to bestow contentment upon Him, where is the deficiency for, where is His deficiency to receive contentment from me? What kind of contentment I can bestow upon Him? I don't have at the thread of the matter, the beginning of the true deficiency, this purposeful deficiency. And therefore, the same final state, which is already exists in nature, it works upon us in a few manners. Even if I don't really want it, but still, I am drawn to it, at least in a, not in my desire, but in my mind, in some some attraction that I should know it, it's interesting. In a manner which really is, doesn't come from me, actually. Or I receive this deficiency from the society, from the group, from the environment, that everybody says it's important. So I start noticing, I work on the other's deficiency. Even though I do that, the same whole, full state, it works upon me, and it starts evoking many states in me. Or just as we've learned in the preparation part for the lesson, that a person that counts years, he sees what's happening to him, and he says years over there. This is what Rabash also says, that after many years, he sees he has nothing. And then he starts thinking, what's going to happen? It's not that the goal is important, it's these years are important for him. The years that have passed on with no results. Therefore, one must do something. So he begins with revealing this deficiency from the environment, and to work upon this, the surrounding light comes and starts organizing it, and then more and more. Meaning the main point is A, to bring himself to get a deficiency for the kli, and not for the satisfaction, meaning all the time to depict this state that I am in front of this surrounding light. You only need to ask. Just as I come to some place where they sell tickets, train tickets, this booth, and I receive, I just need to request. forever, wherever I ask the ticket, I will be given. There needs to be this feeling that I'm not lacking this fulfillment. I know what I should receive, and I know what's the next train station. And thus we advance. And the next station? How should I know what exactly? So they say, if you are incorporated in a society, and you receive their deficiency, and the fact that you really put yourself into it, and you dissolve, you disappear there, you receive their deficiency, you come with this deficiency to the cashier, you buy the ticket, certainly you're not missing anything. You're taking this ticket to this right next station. And thus you advance. And each time more and more, this last station is depicted in a person, which is to bestow contentment upon the Creator. And even this is expressed in the deficiency. Out of the fact that he begins to engage in contentment, bestowing contentment upon the others, he starts receiving each time a small part of the deficiency of bestowing contentment to the source, to the emanator, to the Creator. And thus it is depicted in him more and more. Since even though we request in a very simple manner, we don't really understand what we are requesting, but the light in it, it comes in all of its package in this 10 sefirot, and there's also this light converse to the lev of heaven that I understand that I cannot use, and also the light of keter, which is a higher degree than the degree that I am. In each keter, you feel the malchut of the upper and also the keter of the lower. And thus I begin to be included of these states. Was, is, and will be. Haya, ove, and iye. And I begin to understand how I build myself in this process. I start on feeling these manners, these wheels of the train which are progressing and regressing, but actually the journey is always forward, and these wheels are become in many ways which are opposite to each other, but still you advance towards the goal. So, out of all this whole process that I go through, the main thing is to locate the point of prayer, which is about the deficiency to bestow. The main thing is to search for the deficiency, and not the deficiency to bestow, which is a kli already. Rather, the prayer before the prayer, the deficiency for a deficiency to bestow. This is what I need. Questions? Yes.
A student from New York is asking, how do you pray for the kli?
For the kli, you cannot pray. How can I pray for a kli? Our prayers, as it is written, they are always towards the light of Ein Sof. Yes?
Meaning, for the formation of the kli, or the creation of the kli. How do you pray for that?
Thank you. Because except for a kli, we are lacking nothing. The problem is we are always used to pray for this deficiency. No, the fulfillment. Because we're used to the fact that if we're missing something, we're lacking something, so our request. If I'm not lacking anything, why should I request? In our world, this is the way it is. My ego searches for fulfillment, so I will ask for this fulfillment. If I'm calm, I have everything, so I'm very quiet. Why should I request? In the spiritual world, we are in advance. In no place, no step, we feel a deficiency. We do not feel the kli. We have no kli for spirituality. There is no. We don't find it, we don't discover it, we don't feel it, and we will never reveal in ourselves anything if we wait, just as in corporeality. In corporeality, I sit, I don't do anything. Suddenly, I want to read. What's that? I suddenly want to eat or to drink. 5 minutes ago, I didn't want, but suddenly, I want to. Suddenly, I want to go to sleep. I wake up. I want to walk. Everything I feel the deficiencies that awake in me, but I don't call them. If I'm certain that this deficiency brings true pleasure, then I will call it. It's food, sex, family, it's natural deficiencies, but then later I evoke them in myself. From myself, I take this sweet or salty thing. I plan on going to a restaurant. If I didn't have this pleasure from it, I would never plan to go to a restaurant. But now I know that there's a place where I receive this pleasure. And then, in advance, out of my experience, I plan to go. Meaning, in corporeality, we have all these orders, to reach these kelim, vessels, and the pleasures. And these kelim are, we learn them, we know them, they are reshimot in me, and also the society supports this, and it brings all kinds of values. In spirituality, there is nothing of this. I am in such a manner that I see nothing. Where are the restaurants here? Where are the theaters, music halls, paintings? Where can I enjoy the view, the sun, the birds? Where are these things? Nothing. There are none. They tell me, you don't have because you don't see because you have no kli. If you will acquire, you can buy. You see this cashier? Go to this window, come over there, pay, and you will receive this pill. You take the pill, and you suddenly start seeing as if you took some drug and you have all kinds of imaginations. Why? Because you just bought the deficiency. And according to this deficiency, you discover in the light these shapes. Let's say it's that simple. Meaning this deficiency is what we need. And the deficiency we do not have, and it will not come in a natural way as in food and family and all the deficiencies in this world. Rather, we need to receive these deficiencies from the environment, from the books, and to develop them and to give them the right picture, the right form. This actually is the problem. That we have no deficiency and we're not used to working on this deficiency, only on the satisfaction, the fulfillment. On the deficiency in this world, people who are sick work about upon this, or maybe they don't have an appetite because they are sick, or they have this problem, a sex problem, so they go to the doctor. Food, sex, family. Yes, so either regular sick people, they don't have the pleasure in food, so they take care about this deficiency, or they don't have the pleasure in sex, so they take care about it, or in the family, they need to go to some help, some course and so forth, some psychologist. But these are abnormal cases. And thus, about the deficiency, we don't take care about it. And the fact that we don't care about this deficiency is as if that in this world there is a fulfillment, but actually it's the opposite. In this world we have the deficiency, but we don't have the fulfillment, but in the spiritual world there is no deficiency, but there is a fulfillment. Therefore, our work is called Faith Above Reason, that we need truly with the environment all the time to direct ourselves properly towards revealing the deficiency. And never we can discover it. It doesn't reveal itself from nature, rather only from the environment, only from environment. Why? What is this environment? An environment can reveal this true deficiency from my next degree up until Ein Sof, all through all degrees. On the condition that I incorporate myself in it, and it's a true and a good environment, and I discover, and I, in my work in it, I discover all of us together, this mutual power bestowal, and then I can receive from the center of the group, from this group, all the deficiencies that I need. Therefore, there is a way to receive this true deficiency always. Only you need to use it, to go, to try to walk in this way. But you need to find it. And the fulfillment is immediately is revealed through this true deficiency. The moment you achieve this equivalence, it all is revealed. This light is turned on. Let's move on to the next part. Or do you want to ask questions? No. Zvika. We have today Zvika. All the time I'm getting confused. What does it mean to bestow contentment on the others? It's the first time I hear this. How can you do this, such a thing?
It says there is this rule that I've heard that from love of the people you reach love of the Creator. So love means that I bring contentment to the one that I love. Or I give contentment to someone, that means that I love them. It's the same. So
shouldn't there be some system that you want to bestow contentment upon the people and they are not ready for it?
Those are the conditions already, but
when you bestow contentment, you need some cooperation from the other side. He thinks that you are coming to bestow, and he thinks you want to do something bad for him.
That's not considered you bringing contentment.
But you are causing contentment.
No.
You are with the right intention.
No. Wait, listen. There are two things here. I have a son. Truly not so disciplined. I have an obligation to educate him, to bring him up correctly. So I come to him with all of my love, but I have to pressure him and do all kinds of things and to try with all kinds of cunning ways to manipulate him in such a way that in the end he'll change a little bit, he'll improve, right? Yeah, nothing you can do about it. And that's because there is this obligation upon me. So here I have to, along with my natural love, I have to apply certain limitations, sufferings that I actually suffer from, because I have to perform certain actions of pressure on him, because I would have been happier without such actions, that everything will simply fall into place smoothly, easily, right? So I relate to him with love. What does it mean with love? That I know him, I'm familiar with him, I feel him, and I would have been interested to fill him up 100%, right? This is called that I love him. And the fact that I have to pressure him, I suffer from that more than he does. Is that how you relate to somebody that you want to do good to also? In the same way, right? So you love him 100%. You want to do the best for him. And you know what it means for his good. And you feel that he enjoys it. And you come to him and you do it for him. So why does he get upset with you? Because apparently you don't know him. You're not going to educate him. You just want to do good to him. What are you looking at me for? Rather, do you want to do something good for him? Maybe the way you want it.
No, you do according to these social norms. And you know it.
According to his desire or according to the social conventions?
And, no, it's...
Sir, it's not according to his desire, if it's just the social norms.
And how does he know that he should receive or not receive? And what level is he? If I'm doing something good, then...
No, wait a minute. We can't talk like that.
Why?
Because it's not called love. Love means that I know the internality of this person and I'm going to fill him up the way that he wants it. Period. I, myself, am just a vessel to serve him according to his desire. That's it. I myself don't exist. I don't exist. Even though he won't know about me. That I will do it through all kinds of messengers. That I won't receive any contentment out of it. No reward. Only so that he'll have it good, like that. A mother who loves her baby, if she can't be next to the baby, she does it through all kinds of different means so that he'll have it good. Doesn't matter if he knows about her at all. What is important is that he'll have it good. That he'll feel good. That's the goal. That in him there will be this pleasure. Do you understand that? And I want to do it this way. I understand here there is knowledge by the society that this is how it has to be done. Maybe this person is not with you at all. That's how you work. I understand. Therefore, that's why you can't find a common language with the people. Talking about the union. Well,
when you speak about the baby, it's okay, I can accept this. Of course, you give to the baby. But when you have the friends that do it with you?
A baby and a friend is something different.
So how?
With a baby, you have a natural feeling. The mother understands what's in him even more than she feels herself.
Okay, now I'm talking about the friends that are on the path with you. They think that you want to do something bad to him.
You want to do what?
You want to do something bad to them. You come to do something good.
And that's what they think about. That's what they think about you. You call them friends, huh? Look, everybody's making fun of you.
Don't laugh. They know why they're laughing.
What, a gang?
Not a gang. Good friends. Actually, good friends. But maybe things he's suspicious. that they want to do something bad to him. What do you say about that?
I don't know. Friends that want to do bad things to one another? I mean,
no, he wants to do good. But maybe they think that you don't want to do something good.
How can it be?
I don't know.
So how do you call them friends?
Maybe tell us, what is a friend?
A friend, chaver, is from the word chibur, connection, unity. Chibur. For us, I'm not talking about friends out there that are, you know, going to spend some good time together. They go to, you know, to the gym or go to the pub. For us, a friend means that I'm going to connect with him in order to attain between us the shared deficiency for mutual bestowal. And out of that, I learn what is the quality of bestowal. And after I know what is the quality of bestowal, I can, from him, the way he is towards me, we can actually expand our kli and also to make it deeper and to search for the upper force there, inside that quality of bestowal that we discover mutually. But walking this way together, this advancement really connects us, binds us in our souls. In our souls. When we advance, first of all, we begin to know that we belong to a single system, that our souls are close to one another, pieces of a single soul that are next to each other. That's why we're together. This is why the upper light has gathered us in such a way. And I don't look at the faces, those I like, those I don't, they're pleasant or not pleasant, they should go away, they should come closer. No. I take everyone, whoever came. Why? Because apparently they might leave, but apparently this is a part of that puzzle, a part that's close to us. And without him, we won't be complete, we won't be whole. And with him, we complete the puzzle more and more, this structure of the general soul. This is called a friend. That in our souls, not in our bodies, we're going to, you know, have some good time together. Rather, we complete our souls between us. And then, when we nullify our ego that is separating us and not letting us glued on the pieces of the puzzle together, by that we truly reach adhesion. This is called a friend. You know, what should we be suspicious about? On the path. Certainly we have ascents, descents, we need mutual help, all kinds of things, but to be suspicious. And I also understand him and feel him that he's now falling, he needs help. I also, another time, you know, fell. Anything but slandering. If he has this spirit upon him, that's something else. But having questions along the way, and this is called a friend. How else? Yes, Leo.
I want to return to this matter of deficiency and fulfillment. When we speak about our congresses, we know that each one felt how much fulfillment there is in such a congress and how good it can be.
That's also not correct, because it depends on the deficiency. There's a far greater fulfillment than what you attain. Imagine that it's actually measured, you know, according to the kli.
Yeah, that's clear. But I think that if each one checks himself, he finds that because we have this experience of this thing that is called a congress, then we can easily fall into this place of, instead of preparing, to yearn to something good that is going to happen. The question is, we are in front before a very important and big congress in 10 days, how to take care, to worry that we only take care of the right efficiency and not about the fulfillment, or maybe over there we should, I don't know, maybe we should enjoy the pleasure that's coming. I don't know how to organize these things.
Towards the Congress, our preparations should be that, one, first of all, we learn in a simple, mechanical manner. We simply get to know things. Where is that, and why, and what are the topics, what are the lessons going to be about, and all kinds of materials that accompany that. We read those things, and we get to know the songs, all of these things that are on the periphery, let's say, from afar, as you start entering the wisdom of Kabbalah, as much as a person can get accustomed to it. First of all, he learns the external things that he's able to grasp, and then he moves inner and inner. So, that's how I recommend to do it. And therefore, I'm hoping that already we have in the Congress website, we have all of those things, all these peripheral materials. We should have those things there. All kinds of video clips, maybe, etc. I actually get people send it to me, all kinds of clips of all kinds of things. I don't know if later they put them up in the website. Maybe later, not sure they're being checked later by the ideology department. So that's what we first need to do. And later on, to incorporate with the materials, with the songs, to know things a little bit, and later to start with the connection. Who is coming? How do I connect, communicate with them? How do we correspond beforehand? What groups of 10? What workshops? What dialogues can we have now prior to the Congress, not just during the predefined times, like the Assembly of Friends once a week, but is there a website there where you can actually correspond, chat or something? We don't have that? We have that? They say we don't. You say we do. You saw it. Okay, so you see, nobody knows. How can it be that nobody knows? Niv?
There is a place where you can upload, and people put a lot of impressions and tips. And
that's what you meant. Fine, good, so at least that. Yeah. Why don't we have more than that? I don't know. But Benny, what's going on there? How come we don't have a place where people can actually chat? And
there is a place, but it's not a site. It's in the Facebook. You can enter through the Facebook, and people are writing over there.
Is there a link to that from the Congress website?
In the website, yes. Yes, there is.
Otherwise, sometimes you do it that, you know, somebody who knows about it, he can go there, but others can't. Everything has to be interlinked everywhere.
Yes, there is a link.
You have that. Okay, check nonetheless. That's it. And then also impressions, inspirations, and, you know, the materials that one reads. Maybe somebody can find special passages that move him especially, and he might put them up there. So it's worthwhile to go in there and integrate with that. That's it. Fine, yeah, Mushi.
If I understand correctly, in this world, there are many deficiencies, and we search the pleasures, the fulfillment, and in the spiritual world, there are a lot of fulfillments, but I should create the deficiency. Mm-hmm. So if I take the Congress, that I have no deficiency, so I need to generate this deficiency. It's like in spirituality that I should generate this deficiency. So we study this. We know how to do it.
So you have to imagine for yourself the fulfillment, what pleasure there is there towards which I should now form a deficiency. That's how you need to work. In our world, everything is built for us to advance. So you have to, you know, you receive some deficiency, you chase the fulfillment. The moment it reaches contact with the deficiency, it disappears. And then another deficiency awakens. And this is in order to bring you, and it's called the way of in due time. This is what we call the increasing, enlarging the ego. Each time a greater and greater ego awakens in you, and you stumble upon the fulfillment, immediately disappears. You reach another fulfillment, it disappears. And that way the ego grows more and more. That's the process, that's the direction, the course. In the spiritual world, that same pleasure, as in the incorporeal world, we live in the same realm. You are facing an ocean of light, truly. However, you approach that ocean of light not with your egoistical vessel, that then if you just touch your with your vessel, you touch that ocean of pleasure and the kli suddenly disappears. Rather, you come to that ocean of light with your vessel, and you actually filled up, you're immersed actually in that ocean, because your vessel and the light are similar to one another. They're truly integrated, and that's how you enter it. The light, all of it, the entire ocean becomes the surrounding light, and what enters your kli becomes inner light. But both in corporeality and in spirituality, we're in the same state, in the same situation. Only either you come there with your vessel and it disappears. It's like a shortcut, because your vessel, your desire and the light are opposites. Therefore, there is this mutual annihilation. Mutual annealing, mutual cancelling. Or in spirituality, they actually match. That's all. So what we need in our spiritual advancement is to depict the pleasure. And accordingly, what deficiency should we have? In corporeality, also do the same. What pleasure will I have? And accordingly, I evoke myself, stimulate myself. I have to build a deficiency in advance if I don't have that, let's say. I don't have some deficiency for something, but let's say I'm going, or I want to, I'm going to some restaurant, I'm going to sit there. So I imagine the pleasures that I'm going to get there, and accordingly, I build the appetite, the deficiency. That's how it should be towards the Congress. I need to think, what am I going to receive from it? What fulfillment, what achievements, what exertion will everybody make there? How can I integrate with everyone? How can I receive with their help? It's a complex of a lot of pain, a lot of investment, a lot of effort from thousands of people, because people are making efforts all over the world, all of our friends, in order to gather and to be with us. And also there, in that place, how much they're already building and doing and planning. I mean, you can see what they're doing, right? Truly, for a whole month now, even before that, but especially following the Krasnoyarsk Congress, it's like day and night that they're, you know, it's like a craze of preparations. And what anticipation that there is there by everyone, that we will connect, that we will finally discover this mutuality, and in that connection between us, we'll discover the quality of mutual bestowal, a little bit more, we'll feel the Creator a bit more. We need to think about it. Yes.
It doesn't. I can't put it together with the fact that a few days ago we said that I shouldn't expect results. So I come and I don't expect any result. Only to work. Only the force, in order to be there to give an example.
The purpose of creation is to give pleasure to His creations. We need to look forward for the pleasure, but the pleasure out of me bestowing to the friends and through them to the Creator. The pleasure is the purpose of creation. I need to enjoy. If I'm not enjoying, if I'm crying, then I'm opposite to the pleasure. I'm opposite to the Creator. I'm far away from Him. Next to the Creator, the more we come closer to Him, we enjoy more and more. All of the degrees of the ladder are ascending in pleasures, in the sensation of pleasures that is even more and more wonderful, even more and more, so much that how can it be? And then, whoa, it opens up. So much so that you really get drunk, you go crazy. You can't go crazy because you have the screen, but if you didn't have the screen, even the smallest pleasure would burn all of your fuses. So, it is pleasure, but pleasure out of bestowal, because I love, that is, I fill up the ones that I love. What? You have a sour face now.
No.
Yes? What? You can't imagine to yourself that you're actually filling up someone that you love? Do you have somebody in this world that you love? At least your son, someone? Well, I'm not asking about other people, but at least your little child. You can enjoy the fact that you're giving something to someone, or that when somebody enjoys, you really enjoy it right next to him, because of him. You enjoy in him. In him, you enjoy. You feel that he's now tasting something which is tasty, or enjoying some game, and you feel the pleasure along with him, the way that he feels it inside of him. You don't? What stony heart you have. I can't believe it. So you see, that's my son-in-law. How come I didn't notice it before? Others are, well, go ahead.
No, but what you're talking about is it's impossible if you don't turn to the Creator.
No, but in our lives, do you have such an example or not?
Yes, of course there is.
So it's the same. Well, spirituality, of course, there's nothing you can do without the light, but you have an example from corporeal reality that you can actually draw that example, copy it from corporeality, spirituality. So in spirituality, you don't have all these elements in your hands. So you ask for it. You have to construct them through the light that reforms. But you understand that there is pleasure out of the fact that if somebody that you love enjoys, right? So what do you lack? Just love for the Creator, let's say, that He enjoys your actions, and that to that extent, you enjoy His deriving pleasure from you. But because the Creator is a little bit bigger than you, right? He includes everything, then the fact that you bring Him your little contentment, it is multiplied by 608 times, 620 times your effort, your exertion, your pleasure. And He enjoys you 620 times greater. And you receive back pleasure, which is 620 times greater. This is called that we enjoy, we advance this way. This is our work. 613 desires filled up with light, and an additional 7, what we call the mitzvot of the sons of Noach, Mahul itself, all in all, 620 times more. Yes?
One more question. I didn't understand about the results. I don't expect these results in the ego. I should depict, on the one hand, the pleasure, but...
You need to worry about the deficiency. The fact that we now said that there is a great pleasure, but you don't know about it. You don't have the deficiency for it. Now, after you mechanically, theoretically imagine the pleasure to yourself, now you should start describing it. How do I reach it? It's here, but I can't grab it. I can't get hold of it. No, where is it? Here. Where? How do I get hold of it? They say that around us there's this infinite energy. That's what the physicists say. Infinite energy. If we were able to split the atom in the right way, we would be able to extract from there energy. You know, 1 gram of matter would be sufficient for you, and you can cover up all the needs for our energy for 1,000 years, let's say, for the entire globe. So, before you there is an ensof, infinite, or no boundless amount. It all depends on the vessels. So, now, you should shift from a description of pleasures, a depiction of pleasures that come as a result of you bringing contentment to the one that you love. As Baal HaSulam asks there in letter 2, in the introduction to the study of Tess, what is the purpose of our lives? Not who do I derive pleasure from, but rather who do I give pleasure to? That's more correct. Well, we'll talk about that. Oh, we have a guest, right? Yes?
In the Congress, or when people gather, where friends gather, the purpose is the connection, the unity. And this exertion of finding the deficiency, finding the deficiency in the friend, in order to fulfill him, it actually breaks this equivalence between the friends, between a friend, because I see his deficiency to fulfill it, and then there is some kind of I become superior as a bestower towards him.
The fact that I bestow to the friends, does that mean that I break the balance?
Yes, just as a mother and a baby, in the example you gave, there's a bestower, he's above, he's superior to the receiver.
If there is love between the two of them, let's say a mother and a baby, two friends, the creator and the created being, if there is love between the two of them, love completely equalizes them. It equalizes them. The mother doesn't feel herself as being greater than the baby. The baby doesn't feel that mom is greater than him. Love, we say, spoils the line, as we say. Completely, it blurs everything. We don't quite understand what it does, but it erases all the differences, the gaps, all the subordination, hierarchy, these relations of greater, smaller, wiser, full, you know, more full, all of those, love, erases all of those things. It breaks all of those things because it turns all of them into one. So no longer do you have any differences. This is how it happens. How can it be? Does the mother feel herself as greater than the baby? She serves him. She is willing to be below him so long as he feels good. So is that considered as her being greater? The baby feels that he's the Rosh, that he's actually managing his mother. Mother, I want this. Mother, I want that. And she's just running after him as though she's small. No, it's not. It's not that way. But in the end, well, a baby and a mother, that's natural love. But when we are in ties of love, there is no difference between us. It cannot be that we have here any other relations than other than unity. In love, other than chibur, connection up to the point of unity, without any differences, nothing else can be. That's how it is. Just go deeper a little bit more into this concept, this notion. What is love? Don't give it any alien depictions.
There are a few questions here. Maybe what love is pointing, I think, in love is more towards the contentment, that actually this exertion of finding the deficiency or acquiring, buying this deficiency that you see outside of you.
We should now equip ourselves, and that's also what Mushi is asking, and that's really a question about, should we think about the pleasures or think about the deficiencies? We should think about both the fulfillments and the deficiencies, but realize that the fulfillments are in abundance. We are now in an ocean of light. The restriction that was done, and we are in Ensof, in Malchut of Ensof. The restriction that was done only on the condition that you have to match the light in order to receive it in its abundance. Not in a limited kli, which is in opposition to the light, rather in a light that in a kli that matches the light, that can feel it, all of it, because it has the same qualities. Let's say I can enjoy you because you are wise, you are strong, you're rich, you're something else. Next to you, I can actually enjoy you in something that I take from you. And you know, what is the true pleasure that could have been there if I was in your place, if I was you, if I was wise, rich, knowing everything? We have this example, this depiction, that the poor man tells to the landlord that, well, you're giving me everything, right? That he takes his poor friend from the marketplace and he gives him everything, and then his friend says, you gave me everything, but I want to be like you. And he says, that I cannot give you. I can give you everything. And he says, no, it's not about giving. I want to be in your place, not instead of you not having anything and I'll have it. Rather, I want to be like you, to be great, to be understanding, feeling, attaining, and not to just take from you some crumbs that I just get a little bit of these crumbs from your table. You see? So, how to reach that? That is our purpose. Therefore, we need to equip ourselves with the qualities of the light. And then, we feel the essence of love, its depth. Our entire war is over the Malchut, over the Malchuyot, the kingships. The Chinat Dalet, the fourth aspect, as it develops in the fourth these phases of direct light, it includes all the earlier three bechinot, three phases, and then the fourth phase, Bechina Dalet, which is the true vessel of reception. It has in it Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, and then the Dalet of the Dalet, it starts feeling how much it actually is not capable, not feeling, not, etc. That's what we work on, actually. I'll try to explain that. Well, at some point we'll talk about it. We're talking about love here. So love, actually, if you look from the one side or from the other side, it's like the law of equivalent vessels.
By the way, you know where you can find the text about love? In Light and Sun. There's an entire chapter there, dozens of books about love. It's called that way as well.
I'm saying it's like equivalent vessels. As much as I give him love and as much as he gives me love in return, it's not in the same weight. It's according to how much on his behalf can actually disclose the deficiency in the other.
If you work along with the others, then you reach a state where you are all equal to the light. There's no greater, smaller. You come to the equality, literally. And that's where the connection happens.
So in every contact that I have with the friends, with the 99%, with the Creator, I only search for how can I build, how can I recognize the deficiency of whatever is in front of me, and I try to fill it up.
Make it even simpler. You are searching for a way to bestow contentment to the Creator, to look for the lack to be fulfilled. It seems egoistic, and then it will confuse you. You're looking for how to bring contentment through the group to the Creator, but in a straightforward manner. Israel, the light and the Creator. And not in a way like what your buddy said. He is teaching how you should behave. Rather, first you envision that love, and then you relate that way and come to that connection.
This means that if in my thought I'll constantly try to say, what is the Creator telling me? What does He want? In every state, in every situation,
He wants you to enjoy bestowing upon Him. That's it. Not that He requires your giving. Then He appears in your love, in your vessel of bestowal, in your inclination to bestow to Him. When you turn that way to Him, you begin to feel His revelation in that, His love, His relation. And that's the fulfillment that He wants you to enjoy. That relation on your part is called returning light, and His relation towards you is called direct light. That's where it all ends.
Niv.
You have to understand me.
How do we keep this deficiency throughout the day? Because the moment that this deficiency is filled up, the intention goes away with it and the thought. So the question is, how do we not let go of that? How do we keep that end of the thread?
The opinion of the environment. You can't do it alone. It has to be in the air. It doesn't matter if I sit in my room, locked up, no one comes in, and I'm not going out. It has to be in the air. or even if I go 100 kilometers away from here, it has to be in the air. I have to feel it. I have to be under this influence. And these waves, they spread further than distances.
On what does the man's ability to let the opinion bestow that deficiency on him depend on? That it will influence him with this deficiency?
Again, the desire, necessity, urgency, all kinds of exercises, doesn't matter what, as long as, you know, you hit the same point again and again, like Rabash writes, that the bullet has to just hit this one place, the stony heart, and so on.
When a person grabs that thought already, what should be his process with it, so that he won't awaken in the end of the day and he'll realize that somewhere in the beginning of the day he had that thought, then it eluded him, and then 12 hours later he realizes that it actually eluded him 12 hours earlier.
Right, so what will he do for tomorrow?
For tomorrow he'll draw that conclusion, will try to see what he...
And what will be the expression of it?
He should be concerned about the influence of the environment that will be stronger.
And how can that be?
That depends on the deficiency. That's what you just told me.
How does he set himself up today? After many years, he wakes up in the morning and continues throughout the day and sees that in the evening he has nothing, and that's what's happening day after day. So how will I plan in the evening the entire process that will start from the morning so that next evening I won't end up having nothing, but I'll come with something when I arrive home? Well, then I have to do something about it. I have to do something in advance and be certain that by that I will reach it. I will not forget intentions, actions. I have to pre-organize the entire daily routine. That's called, if I'm not for myself, then who will do for me? I have to do this. Well, think. But without it, it's not going to work. Without that, again, the morning will come, the evening will come, and many days will pass. Yes, Meir.
I can't free myself of this feeling that my feeling is that the whole lesson, we're talking about bestowing in order to receive.
So what else is there?
We're saying the right form is to receive in order to bestow. But here, the entire lesson, my feeling is that we are going to bestow in order to receive. How is that different from exchanging the horse for the cow?
Well, let's say it's not different. Okay. But we're talking about bestowal and reception. Fine.
So it's like the whole world. The corrupted world means bestowing in order to receive. I'm willing to bestow. If I receive more, great. What's wrong with that?
You're right that it somewhat sounds like that, but let it be so.
So how are we different from anybody else in the world?
That no others think about bestowing contentment to the friends and through them to the Creator.
No, they think about it. I'll bestow to somebody if I profit more.
And for that, he's going to unite with the friends and hold a convention in such a faraway place in order to feel what? In order to feel how he bestows upon the friends and really wanting to feel how they bestow to everyone, to integrate in this collective atmosphere, and that it won't be like a festival or a party. Rather, that it'll be a mutual, reciprocal bestowal as much as possible. And from that reciprocal bestowal, we also somewhat reach bestowing upon the Creator. And surely we work in vessels of reception on this. If we felt that we're suffering blows from that, of course we wouldn't be able to do it, and everyone would, no one would come. You know, just imagine a convention that you come in order to have your hands cut off. Would anyone come?
What does it mean to bestow contentment to the Creator? I don't know that.
It's worse than cutting off your hands.
I don't know what it means to bestow contentment to the Creator, but I can understand that scenario that you talked about, going to a very tough military unit. I go there, I take these long journeys, I run, I help my friends, only so that later on they'll say he's actually a graduate of that unit.
No, you could be there, you could have excellence, not here. Because why do you bestow to all?
Why? Because I think that if I bestow to everyone, I'll receive a greater pleasure out of it by receiving the light that reforms and all kinds of other things.
Very well. So the light will do its job. The light will do the job. If you think that now, before you get a correction from above, you can already think of bestowal, then try it. We're doing it gradually. From love of the created beings to love of the Creator, and all these things will gradually fall into place. Our progress contains all of that. Just to say, I want to bestow upon the Creator, you can say that. You can write it at the beginning of your thoughts with God's help or in order to bring contentment to the Creator, and then start cursing everyone else. So what?
So what type of deficiency should I get? What is the desire that I need to feel when I'm now going to the Congress?
I don't know. We're looking for the right kind of deficiency. That's what we started talking about. That's it. Danny, yeah.
The friends are asking questions here in all kinds of different directions. When I try to go with them deeper into the scrutiny, it always ends up in exerting in Israel the light and the Creator are one. Is that a good outcome, or should I depict a different type of scrutiny each time? Or is it simply correct to just end up there every time?
This direction is a necessary direction. You don't have anything but that. Israel is the one who has a desire for it, straight to the Creator, Yeshal Kel. The light means that in the group or in humanity, you're creating unity, connection. And in that unity, you discover the Creator, the root of it. That's it. So what else is there? That's the correct direction. Now, the application of it is up to us. Well, oh boy, we're already... Yeah. Yes, Abuya, come here. Abuya means like my son.
Good morning, Rabbi. How can I know that the actions that I'm performing, actually the Creator enjoys them?
The upper light answers any action of man. Doesn't matter what action. Correct, incorrect, good, bad, commandment or transgression, or it doesn't matter, from the worst to the best, it doesn't matter. The action itself invites a reaction from the upper light. That's called the answer of the Creator. If you know in advance the actions that you make, then you know in advance what the Creator answers you, because it's a law which is absolute, and only you are changing. So according to your changes, if you are familiar with your changes, then you're clear about his reaction. Now the question is about having such inner changes and scrutinies that you hear the Creator's voice, that you see the Creator, that you understand the Creator, you rise to His thought and so forth. Then you reach a state where you know in advance how you need to change so as to evoke the pleasant responses on His part. That's called pleasing Him. And that is the art. But that's how we gradually advance. You see, it says it takes years everywhere. By the conventions, if we integrate together properly, then we shorten the time.
What is more beneficial for drawing the light of reforms, the prayer or the prayer before the prayer? Or maybe it's the same?
What's more effective for drawing the light that reforms? What's one?
There's the prayer before the prayer. We talked about it yesterday.
Prayer or prayer before the prayer? What's more effective of the two? The prayer is the lack, the deficiency. If I have that, I activate it. But if I don't have the deficiency, then there has to be a prayer before the prayer, looking for the deficiency. As it is said, may there be a desire to come before you. The desire that comes before the desire. Or we're asking, give me the prayer, or design, form the prayer within me. So that's the man that rises from the Malchut is what's called the prayer for the prayer. Malchut itself is called the prayer, and when it raises the man, it's called the prayer before the prayer. That's truly the man. Zon make a request from Abba Ve'ima. Abba Ve'ima give them some light. So what Zon are asking for is a prayer or a prayer before a prayer? It's the prayer before the prayer.
In the course of our work, we have all kinds of habits. We create all kinds of habits for ourselves in order to perform all kinds of actions. I don't know, to get up for the morning lesson, to make the preparation before we go to sleep, and all kinds of such actions. These actions at some stage have become a habit. You get used to doing them. These actions by themselves, do they draw some sort of light, or when it becomes a habit, it's just a habit? It feels, I don't know, like animalistic.
It doesn't attract anything. I wake up at 3 a.m. for 30 years now. More. 34 years. 33. Why do I do any work for this now? On the contrary, nothing. It's a habit. It's a habit to go to sleep at 9 p.m. max and wake up at 1:30 a.m. That's it. Habit. So how will I get any addition of light from that? No? Some people are used to doing that because of their jobs. There's nothing, no. Only the, how does he call it, the additions. The additions, in short, they're called labor, they're called exertion, that is above your own strength. That if you're capable of doing them, then it's nothing. Then ask Moshe. I see when he's doing his exercises. The main thing in the exercises is to add, you know, to lift another 10 gram or to do another sit-up, you know, that you didn't do before. Only the last one is the effort. All the rest before that isn't. Yes.
You started with Mushi, and Mushi started earlier this dialogue, and we stopped it in the middle, and you just left everyone hanging in midair.
Why?
I'm going to tell you. Question is, what, do we need to be afraid of coming with anticipations, expectations to the Congress? I'm supposed to come and join with the friends and not have any expectations, not have a desire?
I didn't understand.
Mushi said, should we come to the Congress without any expectations?
Okay, we and him will fly together, don't worry, we'll talk about it.
But should I have expectations, anticipation? I mean, usually to the extent of my anticipation, so is my disappointment.
My expectation of the convention is to reach the end of correction. The end of correction is that with all my heart and soul, I bring contentment to the entire world with utterly love.
Anticipation, expectation, that's a problem. You know, you have a will to receive. You want to receive.
Of course, I'm working from the will to receive on this. I have nothing else to work with.
You have a thought. I have this thought about being with the friends, reaching the end of correction. But when I come to the Congress, I want to expect meeting the Creator. I want to apply my desire. If I come to the friends and I say, I want to connect with you. Why? In order to discover the Creator and such things. The question is, if I come with my expectation here, I'm not applying my will to receive. It actually works the other way around, oppositely.
It's true that it works the opposite way.
So how do we overcome that? That's what your son-in-law was asking.
Our will to receive works in the opposite way. We want to enjoy, to get pleasure in the will to receive. And getting pleasure, enjoying, is the purpose of creation. That's why the Creator created the will to receive. Only the will to receive, understand this, as if you don't know anything about creation. You don't know anything. You're told, think that like you're not, you're not of this world, and you're not from the spiritual world. You're just looking from aside. And you're told there is a will to receive, a will to enjoy. That will to enjoy was created, was designed, formed in such a way that it can enjoy only love. Because it was created by love. And it cannot be fulfilled with any other way. Even if it's just 1% of love, then it enjoys that percent. But that's it, nothing else. In our world, we also grasp a little bit of that pleasure when we grow up. Like little animals. Parents, even society, provide us with some love to a certain extent, and that makes us grow to a certain level, and that's it. To enjoy love means that you feel that love. You need to discover it. You need to open yourself up for love. Meaning you need to love for that to happen. Love can't be unidirectional. It's not a one-way street. That's only in corporeality. Love is reciprocal when one is in the other's desires and they're fulfilling each other's desires, and that's called loving. So you have no choice but to reach a state where you fulfill the others, by which you open yourself up to feel that love. Opening your vessel means loving another. If you open your kli by loving another, then you receive the love into it. And that's called receiving the direct light in the clothing of returning light. Let's at least move to the other part and read some Zohar.
Let's move on to the next part of the lesson.